Welcome to The Buzz with ACT IAC, your source for the hot topics and top issues affecting the federal technology market. Join us each week to hear insights from government and industry experts, stay informed on the challenges facing the public sector, and gain access to valuable reports and thought leadership. Enjoy.
Thank you and welcome. I'm Sam Cottrell, Vice President and General Manager of the National Intelligence Sector at General Dynamics Information Technology. GDIT is proud to sponsor the Digital Transformation Summit and this morning's keynote session. At GDIT, we deliver the art of the possible in technology transformations, strategy, and mission services in support of the most complex government, defense, and intelligence projects. As one of the largest systems integrators for the federal government, our 30,000 employees in 30 countries worldwide deliver the expertise needed to understand and advance critical missions. Today's keynote will be given by Ms. Jennifer Eubank on the evolving role of technology in improving the business of government transformation, where she will discuss how technology and the adoption of innovative digital transformation solutions will change the business of government. Ms. Eubank is the Deputy Director of CIA for Digital Innovation, responsible for accelerating the development and integration of digital and cyber capabilities across all of CIA's mission areas. These include enterprise information technology, cybersecurity, cyber operations and analysis, data strategy and artificial intelligence, open source collection and reporting, as well as building the digital acumen of the CIA workforce through training and education. As the agency's de facto chief digital officer, Ms. Eubank oversees the digital C-suite roles of chief information officer, chief information security officer, and chief data officer. A career federal government official, Ms. Eubank has 34 years of experience, initially as a foreign service officer with the State Department, and more recently with the CIA, primarily in the Directorate of Operations, where she has held key leadership positions and served the bulk of her career in the field, to include four tours as chief of station. In one of Ms. Eubank's previous leadership roles, she was responsible for CIA's engagement with the US private sector and academia. At the end of the keynote, there'll be a Q&A, so please enter your questions in the Q&A box on the right-hand side of your screen, and we'll get to as many questions as possible. Thanks for joining us today, and I'm pleased to present Ms. Jennifer Eubank.
Good morning. It's really great to be here, and I want to thank ACT IAC for the kind invitation to speak with you today as part of the Digital Transformation Summit. Yesterday, you were joined by many prominent speakers, both from industry and government, who shared lessons they have learned about digital transformation. As we kick off day two of the summit this morning, I will try to do the same, but from perhaps a unique perspective. The Central Intelligence Agency is the world's premier foreign intelligence and foreign espionage service. Our informal motto is, we accomplish what others cannot accomplish, and we go where others cannot go. Indeed, in our mission to safeguard the American people, we go toe to toe with America's most formidable adversaries, from the streets of global capitals to fire bases and war zones, to the darkest corners of the cyber landscape. My role as Deputy Director of CIA for Digital Innovation is to accelerate the development and integration of digital and cyber capabilities across all of CIA's mission areas. And I have one simple message to share with you today: innovate or perish. But before we talk about that, I need to acknowledge that our discussion today is playing out against the backdrop of war in Europe. Just 2 weeks ago today, Russia invaded Ukraine, a sovereign country, a partner and friend to the United States, the European Union, and NATO, a beacon of hope for those once isolated behind the Iron Curtain, and finally able to determine their own destiny. Days before the invasion, Russian President Vladimir Putin delivered a grim and cynical speech, rewriting history to manipulate the Russian people in an attempt to justify what would become an unprovoked act of aggression. The CIA is supporting our policymakers in a whole of government effort to bring about conditions for the rapid end of hostilities in Ukraine and the return to Russia of all invading forces. And that is our key priority today. I thought for a moment about declining your very kind invitation out of concern that a discussion about digital transformation could seem insensitive to the suffering of the Ukrainian people or belie the intense focus of the CIA and the US government on seeking a peaceful resolution. But I changed my mind, obviously. Whether we talk about business, espionage, or indeed warfare, digital transformation is changing everything. And my simple message to you today holds true: innovate or perish. there is no time to lose, so here I am. Setting aside the physical battlefield for a moment, I'd like to talk about the virtual battlefield and the digital and cyber arms race underway today. The forces we face on that virtual battlefield are formidable, and they represent a real danger to our national and economic security. Indeed, the scourge of terrorism, the rise of autocratic regimes, international economic espionage, and transnational crime all have one thing in common. They too are leveraging digital transformation in their malevolent efforts to undermine the national security of the United States and our allies. In just one example, consider the latest developments in cyber ransomware over this past year. Proving that even criminals are innovating, the recent appearance of ransomware as a service has made ransomware available on a scale never previously contemplated. And when we consider the potential impact of aggressive ransomware attacks on critical infrastructure and government networks, well, the potential impact is pretty clear. Now, as my colleague mentioned, I come to this role through a non-traditional path. Most of my lengthy career in government has been in the CIA's Directorate of Operations. That is the organization that conducts operations abroad to collect secret intelligence on the plans and intentions of our adversaries. Think James Bond, but with decidedly fewer high-speed car chases or glamorous parties. I've served as chief of station for many years, leading integrated intelligence community teams, and I've worked closely with governments literally all around the world. I've seen what our adversaries are capable of, and I know what it takes to outpace them in the digital domain. Foreign states today are using cyber to steal intellectual property, influence foreign populations, undermine governments, and threaten private industry, with physical and digital infrastructure being prime targets. China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea remain the core antagonists across the digital landscape, with criminal ransomware actors now part of that ignoble group. Let's take the example of Russia, which remains a significant cyber threat. It has unleashed increasingly sophisticated espionage, influence, and attack capabilities against the West and some of Moscow's regional rivals. The Russians consider cyber attacks an acceptable tool for deterring adversaries and prosecuting conflicts, something that has been on pretty vivid display during these first weeks of Russia's illegal war in Ukraine. They view large-scale, indiscriminate cyber intrusions as routine business, something we saw in last year's software supply chain operation against SolarWinds, where Russia's intelligence service executed a cyber espionage campaign against the U.S. by placing malicious code in broadly distributed software products. Now, that was a brash demonstration of Moscow's capabilities and proof, as if we needed it, that public and private organizations in the United States clearly remain in Moscow's crosshairs. Looking more broadly at the digital landscape, Russia's aspirations for artificial intelligence should also give us all pause. President Putin himself once proclaimed that, quote, artificial intelligence is the future, not only for Russia, but for all humankind. It comes with colossal opportunities, but also threats that are difficult to predict. Whoever becomes the leader in this sphere, he said, will become ruler of the world. We also know that Russia is working on a variety of AI capabilities to include advanced weapons that will leverage AI in their control systems, among other projects, which is perhaps their own manifestation of digital transformation. When viewed against the backdrop of Russia's aggression toward its neighbors, its hostility toward Western democratic values, and grand aspirations to regain the lost glory of the Soviet period, AI and advanced cyber capabilities in the hands of this Russian government are problematic. It is really wise in this context that cybersecurity experts in the US have warned American industry to prepare for potential cyber attacks in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, given Russia's past use of cyber attacks as a key component of their force projection. As the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, has called this effort Shields Up, and it's very good advice. While Russia may be our most urgent challenge, the People's Republic of China is our most strategic challenge and a formidable player in the digital underworld. Barely concealing its ties to cyber elements of known criminal enterprises, the Chinese government views its competition with the West as a zero-sum game, where China's rise must come at the expense of America's decline. That ambition has fueled brazen aggression in recent years, saturating our networks with disruptive intrusions designed to undermine our security and our competitiveness. Their systemic industrial-level theft of our personal information and intellectual property is both shameless and unrelenting, and part of a concerted campaign to chip away at our prosperity and diminish our economic might. Looking beyond the cyber arena, China aims to achieve world dominance, as they say, in the field of artificial intelligence by the year 2030. They have a whole of government program to do that, and they're making rapid progress. In a country where the cooperation of businesses with the communist regime is compulsory, what were once dystopian predictions of a surveillance state are now a daily reality in China. Massive data collection, data analysis, and artificial intelligence are being used to monitor and control the citizens of China as part of a social credit system that affects every aspect of daily life to potentially devastating effect. One has only to look at the tragedy of internment camps in Xinjiang province and the rapid degradation of freedom in Hong Kong to see where China's version of digital autocracy is leading. So admittedly, that is a fairly dark introduction to digital transformation as seen through the lens of a foreign intelligence service, CIA in this case, whose mission is to move and operate around the globe in order to collect secret information on the plans and intentions of adversaries who seek to undermine America's national security. But thankfully, innovation, adaptation, and optimism are encoded into the very DNA of our organization. From our earliest days, and notwithstanding our defining roots as a human intelligence, or HUMINT as we call it, HUMINT organization, the complexity and risk involved in our work have compelled us to seek complementary means of foreign intelligence collection, or INS as we say, to gain operational advantage and analytic insights. Imagery, electronic signals, open source media, and many, many other aspects of collection are examples of first innovation and then second integration, where we synthesize all these streams of intelligence to inform the analytic judgments we share with policymakers. Partnerships are the third critical element of CIA's adaptability to the ever-changing intelligence landscape. Partnerships with foreign governments, our US national security community, and importantly with US industry. And so it was in 2015 that the CIA underwent an intensive internal review to consider how it would promote even greater innovation, integration, and partnerships in recognition of the growing complexity of the intelligence mission. That study, with considerable foresight, resulted in the creation of the Directorate of Digital Innovation, a move to redesign the intelligence enterprise to meet emerging threats in the digital domain, and to leverage these new capabilities for operational advantage and analytic insights. So CIA at the time had already begun its cloud journey. So a basic foundation for digital transformation was in place, but it was only with the integration of data management, data science, artificial intelligence, cyber collection and analysis, open source collection, and later cybersecurity, all under one organization with an overarching digital strategy that the term transformation really came to life. Bringing together our chief information officer, our chief information security officer, and chief data officer was one of the most powerful moves in our digital transformation, as it forced an alignment of strategy and programs through the entire digital technology stack. At the CIA, we call this team our digital C-suite. We leverage the unique skills of these senior executives, the capabilities they and their workforces develop, and their enterprise authorities to advance our digital strategy in an integrated and holistic fashion. In this world of emerging technology, I do offer one caution based on CIA's experience. It would be a mistake, in my opinion, to think about this second machine age and digital transformation as some form of simple IT modernization. Elastic cloud computing, big data, the Internet of Things, and the advent of artificial intelligence and machine learning are transforming daily life in America and our intelligence mission with it. We now live in a world of ubiquitous sensing, growing cyber threats, and exponential increases in volume and variety of data. But data is not information, and information is not insight. So how can we turn ones and zeros into valuable insights and do so at scale and at the speed of mission? Machines. We must learn to partner with machines, leveraging automation and artificial intelligence to help us burn through the haystacks of information, to find those needles of insight. for those of you who might fear, you know, a HAL 9000 moment, and if you're too young to understand the reference, I recommend you watch 2001: A Space Odyssey. At CIA, machines will never replace people. What they will do, however, is automate labor-intensive tasks, extract insights from mountains of information, and tee up items for human review and decision. In essence, freeing up our officers to focus on higher order cognitive functions. While we speak about CIA's digital transformation in terms of technology, and rightly so, there are many other supporting changes or innovations that have been critical to our success. First, you know, deploying digital capabilities without a workforce to leverage them would be pointless. So we established DDI University to provide training and education to raise the digital acumen of the CIA as a whole. Policies on security accreditation, data management, contract acquisitions, even ethics in artificial intelligence, and much more all needed to change in support of CIA's evolving mission and increasing reliance on digital technologies. We needed to adopt agile techniques in our technology development and deployment. And importantly, digital transformation placed an emphasis on partnerships with the US private sector, making this new directorate I lead arguably the most external facing part of the agency. For CIA, all of this was innovation, not just of technology, but our culture. Unfortunately, not everyone has been so successful. You know, business literature is replete with examples of companies which failed to transform as the digital revolution unfolded. Indeed, the names of these companies have become shorthand for such failure. If I say Blockbuster, we know what that means. It speaks to the fate of any company that fails to innovate in a hyper-competitive and data-driven digital world. And Kodak, we recognize the fate of a legendary company that actually did attempt to innovate, but they did not recognize how the digital revolution was changing not just products, but our very preferences, our habits, and even our culture. These stories and so many others reflect the crossroads that we in the intelligence community have reached today. Will we fail to leverage the opportunities represented by digital transformation? Will we fail to recognize how the very world itself is changing with this fourth industrial revolution? Will we be so slow to adapt that we are left behind, gradually fading into irrelevance? My answer is an emphatic no, because we've learned a great deal on this journey about technology, of course, but also culture and our own organization. First, in a world where real secrets, meaning the plans and intentions of despots and terrorists, are increasingly difficult to uncover, our own competitiveness as an intelligence service and intelligence community will depend upon how fast, relative to our adversaries, we turn the evolving digital landscape to our own advantage. Second, for every risk we face with an emerging technology, as I described at the beginning of our talk today, there are also tremendous opportunities. We need only look at the problem from a new perspective. Third, we must never think about trying to match our adversaries in the digital landscape. We must aim to outpace them, keep moving and keep innovating so as to maintain a competitive advantage. Fourth, digital transformation has enabled more than perhaps anything, agility and scalability. We can scale our efforts as the mission demands using elastic cloud capabilities among, you know, lots of other resources. We are able, as we never were before, to pivot and refocus our efforts on new and emerging priorities. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, you might imagine how critical this has been for CIA's success. Next, real digital transformation is only partly about the technology. It requires a culture that encourages innovation, is agile, embraces experimentation, accepts risk, and tolerates smart failure in the pursuit of real transformation. And finally, just as organizations need to leverage digital transformation, people need to innovate themselves too. And I suppose I'm here today as Exhibit A. You know, I'm a child of the 60s who enjoyed listening to what people now call classic rock on vinyl, and I dabbled in analog film photography. The last coding class I took at university involved Fortran punch cards and a computer center where our programs were compiled overnight. So trust me, you know, if I can do it, anyone can. At this point in CIA's journey, digital innovation has transformed in a very profound way how the agency conducts its work, and the development of new AI capabilities will build upon this success. But innovation is a journey, it's not a destination. And we've learned over the course of our 75-year history that we have just three choices as the world around us transforms. We can do nothing. Of course, that's an option. But in an evolving digital landscape means we're just rapidly falling behind. Or we can react, but always deliver too little, just a bit too late. And these first two options will lead eventually, but inevitably, to failure and obsolescence, much to the detriment of our national security, in my opinion. Our third and only real option is to innovate, to take risks, experiment, fail fast, iterate, and ultimately innovate. And digital transformation has enabled all of that. We at CIA do not have the luxury of sitting idly by as malign state actors in Moscow, Beijing, and elsewhere accelerate their own digital transformation to advance their global aspirations. Their use of cyber warfare and their goals with artificial intelligence represent just two threats among many others to the national security interests of the United States and our allies around the world. Indeed, in this line of business, it is innovate or perish. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share a bit about CIA's digital transformation and how it has enabled CIA's success against some of America's most daunting national security challenges.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. That was certainly a sobering overview of our primary adversaries and how we're responding as a nation and how we'll need to continue to evolve. Your quote of an innovation of culture is certainly something we all need to embrace in all organizations, both public and private. And I personally loved your HAL 9000 reference, so thanks for that. We did get some questions, so hopefully we have time to get to one or two. The first is, how is your organization addressing the war on talent, given the new challenges presented over the past couple of years?
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a good question, right? Because I think any company, any government enterprise that's working in this technology space is facing similar challenges. And certainly the pandemic has disrupted, you know, the global labor market in really profound ways. But we have succeeded. We have continued to recruit and retain what I would consider some of America's most talented technologists. And as this digital kind of landscape has evolved, you know, we've continued to really emphasize and lean forward on these recruitment efforts. We have a lot of different ways we do this, and I'll highlight maybe just a couple aspects of it. One, unknown to a lot of people, we have an amazing student internship program. And that is, you know, we reach out to universities around the country at both the graduate and undergraduate level, and we invite, you know, bright young students who are interested in technology and national security to join us as interns. And they get right to work side by side with our officers doing real projects that help protect the country. And it's frankly very motivating and exciting for them. And that's a great way for us to have a pipeline. It's not our only way, but it's a great one for bringing in new talent. But DDI, as I mentioned, as the most external facing part of the agency and an organization that is deeply focused on digital technologies, it's also a natural entry point for people who are already working in the industry, who might think, well, you know, I'd like to serve in a different capacity. I'd like to, you know, serve our national security mission in the government. And we're a very natural partner for that. So those are two paths that are really important for us. And I think the last thing I would highlight is that, and maybe again, this is unknown to lots of people who have never worked at CIA or contemplated it, we hire for everything you can possibly imagine. I mean, literally everything. Of course, in our area, you know, cyber operations, open source, data scientists, all that kind of stuff. But more broadly at the agency, I mean, you name a profession and we have it. You know, lawyers, technologists, logisticians, anyways, you know, analysts, operations officers, graphic artists, you know, satellite experts. I mean, you name it, we have it. And so that's a really great benefit for us because you can have a long career and do lots of different things. So I'll make one last little plug if anyone is absolutely interested in any way and exploring it. CIA.gov actually has a lot of really great information on the jobs that we offer and how one might go about seeking a career in national security.
Now, that's great overview, Jennifer. Thank you for that. I think we have time for one more question. So the second one really looks back over the last couple of years. Obviously, this has been a tremendous challenge for all organizations. But what lessons learned from the last 2 years of COVID response will you carry into DDI's IT strategy moving forward?
Thank you. I appreciate the question. Can you believe we're starting in year three, right? It seems like yesterday we're all kind of locking down and reevaluating how we do our work. And the first thing we did, and I think any successful organization started with this too, is just focusing on the health and safety of the workforce. It's the most important aspect of our mission. We are nothing without our people. We are a product of the brain power we apply to problems. And so if we don't get the people right, nothing works. So that was really our focus. Digital transformation, and it's great that you asked this question in the context of our discussion on digital transformation, because it really, it enabled us to succeed during what was a very, very challenging time. The pandemic forced us to look kind of inward at how we work as an organization, right? In addition to being an intelligence service working all around the world, we're also a big business, big enterprise, and we have internal business operations that we need to think about. So digital transformation were key, and they allowed us to do, let's say, three things. One, we were able to focus on agility. We were able to maneuver in ways that we never could have before. And of course, our cloud adoption years ago was really the foundation upon which a lot of this agility was built. Second, virtual collaboration. And here we are today on Zoom, but virtual collaboration made a huge difference for us. We leveraged it aggressively at Langley. And you know, so we'll probably find a balance somewhere between fully virtual to fully in-person, because even if the pandemic, when the pandemic fades from view, we'll still want efficiency. And so we'll probably end up somewhere in the middle with in-person at times and virtual at other times. And lastly, this was came as a surprise perhaps to everyone, is the value of our data became really evident. And so we turned to something we'd never really thought much about, to be candid, about business analytics. What data do we have about our business and how does that help us manage in terms of, you know, workflow and people and density in our buildings and the spread of pandemics and you name it? We were able to leverage data in a way that we never had before to keep moving, to keep prosecuting our national security mission. And I would say to succeed in the process of doing that during the pandemic.
And that's a wrap on The Buzz with ACT IAC. Join us next week for more hot topics and top issues affecting the federal technology market. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. And follow us on Twitter at ACTIAC. More information about today's show can be found in the episode notes. For more insights, visit www.actiac.org. Thanks for listening.